Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I kind of had to add myself to you guys over here because they outweigh us a little bit, you know, but that's all right. I'm just so glad that you're all here as we continue this green and growing season after Pentecost and as we sit amidst the quilts. Now, this is not any kind of you know, information about how long the sermon is going to be and whether or not you're going to need the quilt to sort of cuddle up when you take your nap this morning. These quilts have been made by members of our congregation and will be sent out so that they can warm people around the world, whether it's in Libya or in, you know, North Carolina. Lutheran World Relief has been sending these. We will bless these quilts today. It is so good to be here among them all. There are lots of other announcements in the bulletin, and I hope that you take a chance to read through them all. But we've gathered this morning so that we might be in worship. So let us continue that worship by joining together in our gathering song, 10,000 Reasons. Let us rise and sing together.
Bless the Lord. My soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time.
now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you show perpetual loving kindness to us, your servants. Because we cannot rely on our own abilities, grant us your merciful judgment and train us to embody the generosity of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's first lesson is from Jonah chapter 3, verses 10 through 4 and 11. When God saw that the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Noah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you were a gracious God, merciful and slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishment. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out in the city and sat down on the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head to save him from discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush, so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah, so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And he said, Yes, angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night, and it perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from Philippians 1, verses 21 through 30. For to me living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed better the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy and faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that, whether I come and see you or I'm absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striding side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only in believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 20th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. At about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, Why are you standing here idle all day? And they said to him, Because no one has hired us. And he said to them, You also go into the vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the manager, Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first. When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first come, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, These last worked only 1 hour, and you would have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But the landowner replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to think about the day laborers that we meet in the parable that Jesus just told. Now, are you the kind of person who is up at the crack of dawn and ready to work first thing in the morning? Or maybe you overslept a little bit, or you had a project at home that took longer, and so you came to that square late. Or you've been traveling, and it took longer for you to get home, and now half the day is over. Or maybe you had a job that was only half the day, and you still need the whole day's wage. Or maybe your family was sick, your wife's fever finally broke, and you were just hoping to have a chance to sweep up after everyone so that you could maybe find something to provide some soup for your child. You see, today's parable is a little bit different for all of the people throughout the day. And it's different for us as well. Have you ever gotten upset with God when you hear or realize or are reminded that grace and forgiveness can come even to bad people? How do you feel about God's grace and love when you hear that someone who transported thousands of kidnapped human beings so that they could be sold like livestock into slavery, how do you feel when you hear that he gets that grace? That's John Newton, the writer of the hymn, Amazing Grace. How do you feel when someone or something reminds you that God is not necessarily fair? See, this parable helps us to confront some of these questions. Do we celebrate God's grace for all people, or do we grumble? Because Jonah grumbled. In our Old Testament reading, Jonah is sad, he's angry, he's upset with God because God did exactly what Jonah knew that God would do. God was gracious and merciful, and Jonah wanted destruction and catastrophe to rain on Nineveh. Eventually, Jonah went to Nineveh and told them that they needed to repent, but he did as little as he could. He did the bare minimum effort in hopes that his message would get lost, misinterpreted, or not even really be heard. But Nineveh heard his message, and they repented. God spared Nineveh, and that's what upsets Jonah the most. You see, to Jonah, Nineveh was filled with conquerors and kidnappers, with opportunists and thieves. As far as Jonah was concerned, no one in Nineveh should be spared, and they should all get what they deserve. To God, Nineveh was filled with children of God who deserved love and forgiveness. This is even the rub in today's gospel reading. But today, Jonah is sore that God spared that enemy. But God is confused because Jonah knew that this was God's intention, that yes, the threat for destruction was there, but the desire was for repentance and salvation. Jonah knew that God was slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. So what is it that Jonah had to be upset about? It's like those workers first hired in Jesus' parable today. What do they have to be upset about? They agreed to work for the usual daily wage, and that is exactly what they got. No one cheated them out of anything, and they all agreed to what they got, and yet they are upset. Like Jonah, they feel cheated, even if they weren't cheated. So let's look at what happens in this parable and learn a little bit more about God's grace. Now, in the world of Jesus' day, harvesting grapes was not skilled labor. Anyone can do it. Anyone can. I know I have. I've picked grapes. You know, there we are. There's not a lot of complexity to it. You can perhaps get a little faster, but not much. So to a day laborer in Jesus' day, someone promising to pay an entire usual daily wage, which normally went to skilled labor, not unskilled. That usual daily wage, if someone was promising that to go pick grapes, that's a generous offer and that's a job worth taking. And that's what the vineyard owner does in Jesus' parable. He wants the grapes picked, and he's willing to pay the entire daily wage rather than discount it in any way. And so that first group was happy to get the work and to get the wages promised because for them, it was generous. Everyone was happy. And so as the vineyard owner goes back to the town square looking for more and more and more workers throughout the day, he hires them. His promise is to pay you whatever is right. When he came there at 9, there were people excited to get the work. When he came there at noon and at 3, again, people were there and excited to get the work. Even at 5, near the end of the day, they were still excited to get the work. The owner was excited because the harvest was plentiful. We have no idea why any of the people came later to the square to be hired. Maybe they had a good reason. Maybe they had an awful reason. Perhaps they were harried and busy and they showed up when they could, or perhaps that morning they were just being lazy. What matters is that when they were asked, they went and they worked. Everyone, all day, were asked. They were promised to be paid and they worked, some for the whole day and some for just an hour. You see, this is a parable about God's grace because everyone is paid the same. Now you see, that's the sticking point also within the parable because everyone got paid the same. Whether they worked all day or just part of the day or even just at the end of the day, everyone got paid the same. Those hired at the end of the day or even in the middle of the day, they saw this as grace, pure and simple. They knew that they hadn't worked all day. They knew that it wasn't skilled labor. They knew that they deserved less, and yet they got it all. They knew they really hadn't earned it, and yet they received it. Now, the ones that got hired first, they grumbled. They forgot how excited they were when they were hired. They found that the promised wage was what they got. But you see, instead, they were comparing what they got to what others got, and they felt jilted. A person who worked 1 hour got the same as they did, and they had worked all day, so they were grumbling. Now, if we think about that usual daily wage representing God's love and grace, in the kingdom of God, the harvest is plentiful. In the kingdom of God, grace is plentiful and available all day, every day. We who have felt the power of grace in our lives know that truth. We who have been named and claimed in baptism, we who come to this table for forgiveness, life, and salvation, all of the things that we cannot earn and we do not deserve, come to us. We know the presence of God's love in Jesus Christ our Lord. This grace fuels us when we receive it and share it. This grace gets muddy when we try to compare our lives to other people's. Does God love terrorists? Yes. Does God love addicts? Yes. Does God love all the people I don't even like, or maybe they even frighten me? Yes. Does God love me? Does God love you? And the answer is still yes. It is the love, it is the grace, it is the presence of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives every day that helps our faith to grow and aids us in bearing fruit. It is the usual daily wage. But it's really not a wage because instead it is a gift. It is the undeserved love of God. It is the presence of Jesus in our lives that inspires us and then sends us out into the world to love our neighbors. This is what Jesus is describing today. Should we grumble at our grace? Should we grumble at the grace that comes to someone else? The love of God comes early in your day, early in your life. The love of God comes also later, after we've refused and gone off to be the most important thing in the universe. The love of God remains with us, no matter how we try to ignore it. The love of God changes lives. It changes our life. It changes the lives of those around us. It changes those lives all day, every day, from now until forever. Because that is grace. That is God's grace. That is all day grace. And it's ours because God loves us. God loves you. Each of you and all of you. And God wants to work with you to share that love with neighbors and strangers, with family and friends, even with enemies. God loves you. God loves us all. And that is powerful good news, now and always, today and every day. Amen. Quilts have played a major part of Lutheran World Relief's mission since its founding in 1945. These quilts, scattered around our pews today, create a tangible and a lasting bond between the people who lovingly assemble them and our neighbors around the world, the ones who receive the quilts in their greatest times of need. These quilts can be used as warm bedding. They can be used as simple tents. They can be used as floor coverings. Each one of these quilts reflects God's loving presence in a world rife with suffering. For years, quilters here at St. John's and all around the country have lovingly stitched thousands upon thousands of quilts for distribution as part of Lutheran World Relief's many projects. And today, an average, get this, of 300,000 quilts are lovingly given worldwide each year. 300,000. We've got a lot of quilts around us, but this is just a drop. It's amazing. We give thanks for the efforts of our ladies here at St. John's and all of their sisters around the ELCA as we send these quilts filled with the warmth of God's love to all who may receive one. Now, there are baskets by the entryways, and they're there if you're willing to contribute a little bit to the shipping of these quilts to where they need to get to. You can very generously drop something off there and help in this effort. But now, we pray. O Lord our God, maker of all things, you bless your children with many gifts. For some, it is an eye for color. For others, it is the ability to make fine stitches, and still others, they get the skill to develop ever new and exciting patterns. Now we offer the fruits of their labors, these quilts made to share your grace. We dedicate these quilts, O Lord, to your service, trusting that your love will go wherever each quilt is sent, making it more than just a piece of material, rather making each piece here created into an expression of your love. May they be used in your service and become blessings for all those who receive them. Lord, we know that all we possess comes from your loving hand. Give us grace to honor you with all of our being, draw our hearts to you, guide our minds, fill our imaginations, and control our wills so that we may be wholly yours. Use us as you will, always to your glory and to the welfare of all your people. Amen. And now I invite the congregation to please rise as we continue our worship in prayer. Remembering the caring and generous works of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our neighbors. God, who is gracious and merciful, teach your church to invite and welcome all. Lead us to be grateful for the blessing of community. Challenge your church to choose compassion over judgment. Lord, in your mercy, God, who sends the wind and the sun, you know every worm and bush by name. Help us remember that even the humblest parts of creation are precious to you. Show us how best to care for the earth and its creatures. Lord, in your mercy, God, who is ready to relent from punishing, impart your compassionate wisdom to legislators, judges, members of the military and law enforcement. Give them courage to serve their communities in times of uncertainty, stress, or exhaustion. Lord, in your mercy, God who saves, direct your people who are tempted by evil ways. Protect your children from calamity and disaster. Strengthen all who are incarcerated. Encourage all who are in despair or in pain of any kind. Lord, in your mercy. God of all grace, there are so many people who need your healing presence. We pray for all who suffer illness or injury or with accident and disease. We also pray for these who are known to us who need your wholeness and your healing presence. We pray for Mary, Judith, Juanita, Judy, and Rhonda. Lord, in your mercy. God, who is slow to anger, may we boast about the goodness of Jesus with the confidence of Paul in prison. Inspire us to find abundance in whatever vocation we are called to in the world and in service to our congregation. Lord, in your mercy. God, who abounds in steadfast love, we give thanks for the saints called to the kingdom of heaven. Unite with them in spirit. United with them in spirit, hold us firm as we labor in this life and look to the life to come. Lord, in your mercy, remember us according to your steadfast love as we offer these and the prayers of our hearts, trusting in your compassion made known through Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope that your week is filled with blessings as you go into the world with hope
to make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.